If the world is as it is, and it is going to remain as it is forever and ever, then you cannot resolve the problem. It is only because the world is not static, the world is moving. And not only moving, but the world is evolving. So I am making two statements. The world is moving, in which the future as yet has not yet manifested. And secondly, that what is to be manifested is to be manifested by a process of evolution. Now, it is in the context of evolution that the problem of suffering and evil can be resolved, without compromising on the perfection and omnipotence and goodness of God. Now let us examine this. You have very often seen in this world any incomplete work, a statue in the making. Statue in the making may be quite ugly, but unless the statue passes through that stage of ugliness, it can never become as beautiful ultimately as you ultimately see it. And it is only when you eliminate the ugliness of that incomplete stage that you really arrive at that completeness. This is an example of an evolutionary process. In evolution, you have stages, and certain stages are to be eliminated in order to allow them to grow into perfection. All evil arises out of error. I am introducing now a new element in the exposition. All evil is a result of error. This is the basic point. If there was no such thing as error, what we call evil does not arise, will not arise. Behind every evil, there is at a deeper level an error committed. If I beat somebody, I am making an error regarding that person. If I really knew that person thoroughly well, truly well, then what I call evil will not arise. Now, error arises out of what? There is the root of error. The root of error is ignorance. If there is no ignorance, there can be no error. If there is all light, then there can't be any error. But if ignorance is at the basis of error, what is at the basis of ignorance? At the basis of ignorance, if you go on digging, you'll find that ultimately you'll find Satchidananda at the back.
Even an ignorant person also?
Yes, you dig anywhere ignorance, if you go behind and behind and behind, you will find Satchidananda behind it. In other words, there can be no ignorance if there was no Satchidananda. It's a basic point. There could be no ignorance if there was no Satchidananda. You take away Satchidananda from the picture, then you have to explain the origin of ignorance, from where ignorance arises. It can't be ultimate. There can be an argument, it is ultimate, it is like that. Why? Because ignorance by nature is half light and half ignorance. So you have to explain how this mixture arose. Light and ignorance, how they came together. Now, actually speaking, at the base of ignorance is complete inconscience, in which is only darkness. But darkness itself is nothing but veiling. Now, what is it that is veiled? If you open the veil, you find the light. So, behind inconscience is a veiling, a total veiling. And when you unveil it, you find Satchidananda there. Now the question is, Can this wailing be regarded as evil? Is inconscience evil? Is ignorance evil? And you will find that none of them actually is evil. If you really found them to be evil, then there would have been a tremendous problem, because it is insoluble. If the Satchidananda in his luminosity is perfectly ananda, perfectly full of goodness, but even his veils, even if his veils, neither he becomes corrupted nor the veil itself is corruption. Veil is one of the capacities of the divine. You remember once I told you that omnipotence consists both in the capacity to put forth as also the capacity to restrain. Only one who is omnipotent can restrain the movement of force, capacity. Only a good charioteer who is capable can allow the horses to run and also can restrain when necessary. So the capacity to restrain is not inconsistent with omnipotence. Therefore, the act of veiling is not inconsistent with the omnipotence of the divine. The omnipotent can decide to manifest himself fully without any veiling, or he can manifest with veiling. That is his omnipotence. And veiling by itself is not evil. Just as I gave you the example, capacity to restrain horses is not an evil thing. It's a capacity. So, veiling of any kind, whether full or partial, is not inconsistent with Satchidananda. Is not inconsistent with omnipotence. It is out of this veiling, when this veil becomes more and more restricted, there arises ignorance. Complete veiling is inconscience. A partial veiling is called ignorance. And whether the veil is complete or whether the veil is incomplete, both are the powers, and neither of them is evil. And both are only expressions of the omnipotence of the divine. So evil does not exist either in the inconscience, nor does it exist in ignorance. Evil arises only when ignorance tries slowly, that is very important, ignorance tries slowly to unveil itself further. It's a temporary phenomenon where ignorance tries to unveil itself slowly. It is then that the error is committed. Supposing you do not know that below this there is a golden piece. You do not know. Now you do need golden piece. If you are not looking for it, there is no problem. It is only if you have a hypothesis that there is a golden piece that you begin to look for it. Now, if you are capable of putting this table just at one stroke, openly, not slowly, but just at one stroke, you will find the golden piece. But if you do slowly, lifting of the table, then at many points you won't find it. And at every stage you will say, I have made an error. I have not been able to open that spot where the golden piece is lying. So all error is actually an attempt to discover light, but slowly. If you discover light with all your vehemence and completeness, light will be manifested at once. There is no error. And this happens. As Sri Ramakrishna said, I must have the darshan of Kali now, It was vehemence. And he wanted to tear the veil at one stroke. He did it. It's possible. In which case, error does not get committed. But if you strive to open it slowly, gradually, then error is committed.